As we get close to the conclusion of our study of the vine dresser and the vine, one of the things I want to do is go back and deal with something that I dealt with a little bit about a month ago in one of my messages. Because I want us to go back this morning to a very basic question that all of us need to ask. And that question is this: what does God do when His children fail? What happens when we mess up, when we fall down, when we disobey Him, when we turn away from His will, when we make damaging choices in our lives? What do we do when God's children, what does God do when His children let Him down? And understand something. As I preached this message this morning, this is not about lost people. This is about bruised believers. This is about followers of Jesus who are forced to face the sinfulness in their own lives. Because when Jesus spoke these words in the upper room, that's who He was talking to. Those 12 men, now 11, who had followed Him and been with Him and watched Him and heard Him and saw how He touched people, and now He was speaking to them as He's speaking to us. What does Jesus do when you fail? How does He respond when His children really mess up? You know, when God spoke through Isaiah, He made that promise in Isaiah 43:19. It's the one that we've chosen. It's our theme verse for this year. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. When God spoke those words through the prophet Isaiah, He was making a promise to bruised branches. He was speaking to the people of God who had so messed up their lives, who had made so many mistakes and stepped outside of so many lines, who had known His will and rejected His will, who had chosen their own ways instead of God's ways, and they were facing the consequences of their rebellion against God. Isaiah had already told these folks, there are consequences in the way. There is an exile that is coming your way. You're going to pay a price for your sinfulness. But during that time, you will never be out of My heart. God would never forget their needs. God would never forget their needs. God would always have a plan. What God was saying was, the day is coming when I will reclaim you and I will restore you. What does God do when His children fail? People have all kinds of ideas about what the vine dresser does with bruised branches, with bruised believers. So many people are convinced that if you ever mess up, God will drop the hammer on you. He is just waiting for a chance to condemn you and judge you and hurt you because you have broken the rules. Other people believe that if you ever fall down and disappoint Him, He's going to wash His hands off you. He'll just kind of turn around and walk away from you because, after all, you don't deserve His love anymore. Some people think He overlooks the sin and He just does nothing. That God just says, well, you know, everybody's going to make mistakes and bygones will be bygones. And because of that, God just overlooks the sin and nothing ever happens to help the sinner. Then it'll just turn around and leave us crippled by the effects of our sin. In the upper room, Jesus declared, none of the above. This is what Jesus taught, that sinners need to be restored, sin needs to be forgiven, and bruised branches need to be put back into place. Jesus chose to respond positively and proactively when we are bruised, to do what needs to be done to make broken people whole again. When Isaiah said, now it shall spring forth, he was talking about that vine that had been cut down to the nub when it looked like everything was gone and nothing was left that could be recovered, and all of a sudden, new life begins to spring forth. All of a sudden, what once seemed lost is found again. And Jesus says, when branches are bruised, that's what God does. When we sin, when we do stupid things, when we mess up our lives, when we repent and turn to Him, God redeems us. He is our Redeemer. So this morning, I want to go back and I want to look at what the Bible has to say about bruised branches. Because God has a word. It may be for somebody here today who needs to know how much He really cares for you. Jesus says, we have a Lord who lifts us up. Remember what I shared with you a few weeks ago? It was a lesson about what God does with the branches that are bruised and fruitless. Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And you read that and you think, well, it sounds like kind of a shape up or ship out warning. And if you were here, you remember what I talked about. But if you were not, then you need to know. That word takes away is a very important Greek verb. It is a Greek verb, ero. And so many times people read that passage and they think what Jesus is saying is, if you mess up, if you allow yourself to fall away from the vine, then God's just going to cut you off and get rid of you. But instead, that's not what the Bible is saying. To understand what He's saying, you need to understand what causes a fruitless branch. And in a vineyard, the fruitless branches are the ones that lose their connection with the vine. They may fall away, they may drift away, they may be pulled away. Whatever happens, they are away. And as soon as that branch is separated from the rest of the vine, it loses its capacity to grow fruit. It falls to the ground where it's trampled and it's covered with dust. And there is no chance that it can ever make itself fruitful again. Jesus wanted His disciples to think about that, because He wanted them to think about what He was really saying. If you're the gardener, what do you do with that branch? That one branch that's fallen away from everything else. It's just kind of on the ground and it's dirty and it's gritty and it's useless. Well, the gardener has several choices. Common sense would say the best thing he could do is cut his losses. There are plenty of other branches. They're all being fruitful. A fallen branch is one that you can let it go and nobody's ever going to miss it. Just cut it off and keep going. Just throw them away. They're not worth the trouble. Or at the very least, the vine dresser should just ignore that branch. You know, step over it, go on down the line. Worry about other things. Let that branch take care of itself. If it lives, it lives. If it dies, it dies. Doesn't really matter. But that's not what Jesus said the vine dresser does. Remember, He used that term arrow, that same word that we use for aerospace or aeroplane. And it means to lift up. The vine dresser finds a fallen branch and he lifts it up from the ground. And he cleans away the dirt and the stains, and he weaves it back into the vine. A lot of time, a lot of trouble. But if you ask the vine dresser, is it worth it? He would say, definitely. I have a chance to make this little branch bear fruit again. So he reaches down and he picks it up and he cleans it off and he weaves it in. And before long, you begin to see fruit again. That's what God does. He knows if He acts redemptively, the branch has a chance to become fruitful. Now, here's the great thing. And Jesus says, and that's what God does with you and me. And people like us. It's always been His plan. How do I know? Because in Luke chapter 4, the Bible talks about Jesus returning to His hometown of Nazareth. And He goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath. And they're asking Him the question, so who are you? We watched you grow up, but now you seem like a completely different person. And we hear things about you. And we're not sure what to believe. Jesus, who are you? And so he decides to describe himself for the rest of them. He wants people to know, this is how I think of myself. This is my calling. This is my life. He asks for the scroll of Isaiah. And they bring it to him, and he quotes the words from Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. He says, you want to know who I am? Well, let me tell you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he declared to those who were present in the synagogue, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That's who I am. Who are you? I'm the one that God sent to heal bruised branches. I'm the one who God sent to find those who are broken and weak and lost and weary and fix them. Jesus didn't come to avoid bruised branches and hurting people. He came to make them whole again. And that's how Jesus deals with you and me when we are fallen. You may be here today and you have never felt so far from God in your life as you do right now. The truth is, you're sitting there and you are thinking, if people only knew what is going on in my mind. It may be because of that one big sin in your life that has haunted you, and you think, this is impossible for God to forgive. It may be that you've made 100 little decisions, and every one of them have taken you far from God's will for your life. It may be that you didn't walk away, you wandered away. And you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know how I got so far away from God. I just know I'm far away from God. All you know is that you feel fallen and covered with grime and useless to yourself and the people you love. And especially, you just feel separated from God. How could he care for me? You'd like to start over, but you're afraid to try because you're afraid God's already given up on you. Here's the gospel message to every believer. Let me say it this way. Here is the gospel message to every believer in Jesus Christ who has somehow found himself separated from the vine. Every believer in Jesus Christ who feels as though somehow my faith is so dried up. Every believer in Jesus Christ who says, I don't know how I got so far from God. I just know I'm far from God. Here's the message. He loves you more than anybody, just as you are. He doesn't say to you, clean yourself up, shape yourself up, get yourself ready, and when you have proved you're acceptable, then I'll accept you. He says, I love you just the way you are. I know what you've done. I know where you've been. And I still love you. He is ready to pick you up and clean you up and restore you. If you're separated, God's plan is to make things right again. He wants so much to get hold of your life. He's not going to pretend that the failure hasn't happened, that the sin never occurred. He's not going to overlook it and leave it there. He's going to pick you up, and he's going to wipe you off, and he's going to clean you up, and he's going to carefully weave you back into the vine. He's going to put you back where you belong. All you have to do is trust yourself into his hands. What a foolish thing it would be if that vine that's fallen away, that vine that is fruitless, that vine that is dirty, that vine that is useless, were to say to the vine dresser as he lifted it up to make it right again, Don't touch me. Leave me alone. I like myself just the way I am. I am finally free of you and I am free of the vine. I don't need you anymore. I'll handle things by myself. Just leave me in the dirt. No. The vine dresser reaches down just when you need him most. And you know it's his touch because nobody's touch feels like the Savior's touch. And he picks you up and with his own hands, he makes you clean. He doesn't ask somebody else to do it. He doesn't delegate it to one of his angels. He does it himself. Why? Because your name is written on the palm of his hand. Because he loves you and he wants to redeem you. And all you have to do is submit to that touch. Lord, here I am. I know I'm a mess. I know I've wandered away. I know I've failed. Clean me up, please. Remember, he is the God who makes all things new because that's what he said he is. But Jesus is not through yet. He also says this, and the one who comforts the afflicted also afflicts the comfortable, because in the same verse, Jesus also describes another kind of branch. That kind of branch that is doing everything it's supposed to do, living exactly the way it's supposed to live, being productive for his kingdom. And then he says this, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, I love to work in my yard, and I love to see things done. One of the hardest things in the world to do is to prune something, don't you think? To take something that's alive and growing and thriving, and you just cut it down to the nub. And you look at it and you think, I have destroyed this shrub. I have destroyed these flowers. A while ago, this rose bush was covered. Now, all of a sudden, everything's gone. But what have I done? I have made it more fruitful. And Jesus says, and sometimes with the fruitful people, he is doing what he has to do to make us more fruitful. Sometimes he has to do what he has to do so that we can become everything we have to become. Now, I have to confess something. I'm an insomniac. I'm up at least a couple of nights a week in the middle of the night. And that means if there is something for sale on television, I have seen it. And every now and then I sit and look at one of those things and I think, And every once in a while I get beyond to I think I need one of those. About 5 years ago, I bought one of those things. Put it outside in my yard. You know what it was called? It was called a topsy-turvy. How many of y'all had a topsy-turvy? Go ahead. Confession's good for the soul. Anybody? Oh, some of you people are lying. There's one. If you don't remember a topsy-turvy, it was a tomato plant, but it hung upside down. You put it in a pot, and you hung it in the air, and the guy on TV told me, you're going to have this abundance of tomatoes, abundance of fruit, just hanging down everywhere you look from that thing. And so I took mine, and I did everything I was supposed to do, and I hung it up in the air, and I had a problem. It flourished. It was healthy, and it was growing, and it was green, and you could walk out there, and you could look at my thing, and you would think, boy, that is money well invested. Look how green that thing is, except for one thing. I got one tomato the whole summer. What happened? Well, I can't explain everything except say, y'all would have better sense to hang an upside down tomato plant, but what seemed to happen with this plant is the leaves grew and they flourished, but they became so thick that the sun couldn't get to the blooms, and the blooms couldn't become a tomato. And if I had been smart, I would have pruned that vine and made room for fruit. That's why a wise farmer learns the value of pruning. You know, for several years, we lived in Chilton County, and that meant that a lot of folks in our church had something to do with growing peaches. And I remember one day going down to see a friend of mine who ran the experimental farm for Auburn down in Jemison. And we were just visiting, and he was working with his peach trees that day, and it had been a great year. His peach trees had created hundreds and thousands of blooms, and most of those had turned into little bitty peaches that were just beginning to grow. But the day I was visiting him, you know what he was doing? He was pulling about half of those peaches off the branches. Why? So there'd be room for the others to grow. He could have had an abundance of stunted little peaches, but he was looking for the healthy, growing, profitable fruit. There are times when God will do that with you. If you're here today and you are walking with God and you are being faithful to Him and you are trying to please Him with your life and you think because of that, everything's going to be easy for me. I am on the sunny side of the street and that's the only place I'm ever going to go. All I'm going to say to you this morning is, get ready. Because sometimes God has to prune you. Why? Because your life is not sinful, but it's cluttered. There's so much stuff going on in your life that you can't give proper attention to anything because you're trying to keep everything balanced out. He'll prune you when too many things have become too important for your relationship with Christ to be rich and real. He'll prune you when you are bearing fruit, but you could be so much more productive. What's the result when too many minors become majors in your life? You have a life that is full of activity, but it's not really satisfying. It's not satisfying to you, and it's not satisfying to the Lord. And when those times happen, when your life becomes too cluttered, when there's too many things going on, when you're majoring on too many minors, the Lord will step in and lovingly do pruning work in your life. Now, how is He going to prune you? He may use frustration. He may use disappointment. He may use circumstances. He may even use overwhelming obstacles. He will do something to shake you up and prune your life. And when He does it, when Christ prunes you, He doesn't do it to hurt you, but to make you fruitful. One of the things that happens when God steps in and you go through one of those pruning seasons, because I'll tell you the truth, I don't know any way to go through it that doesn't hurt, that doesn't make you uncomfortable, that doesn't make you squirm. But when that pruning time is over and you look around your life, one of the things you realize is, boy, I needed that. I needed that so much. I needed God to get me back to majoring on the majors. And some of those things that we held on so tightly that you would think it couldn't be pried from your hands, when it's gone, you realize it was an act of grace. I wouldn't give it up, so He took it. So I would have to let it go. Here's the thing. At the end of your life, God doesn't want you to look back on your days and see nothing but wasted time. He wants you to see a life that is invested in the things that really matter. He wants you to know the joy of being used by God. So when He prunes you, you submit to His touch. A moment ago, we watched that video of the mission trip you all just took, Rich, and it worked out great, looked good. Here's the thing about times like that. If you ask any of these folks, as Joe just testified, so was it worth it to make that trip? Every one of them would say, yes, it was a life-changing experience. It was so, I am so glad that I was willing to invest that time in going and doing and serving. But if you're anything like me, when you were getting ready to leave on that trip, you may have had the same thoughts that I have had every time I've ever left the country and gone on a mission trip. You know what those thoughts were? It was not, Lord, please use me. Lord, please touch lives. God, please bless these people and use me to be a blessing. Almost every time as I've gotten on an airplane to leave on a mission trip, I've had the same thought. You know what that thought was? It was, I have too many things to do to be gone for 2 weeks. I don't know why in the world I decided to do this, but here I am and I've got to do it. And every time I've been, I've come back home and said, I am so glad that God used me and let me be a part of what he was doing. Sometimes God just steps into our lives and he says, you are so preoccupied and you're doing so many things that you think are so important, and you need to get back to the things that matter most, back to the basics. So he prunes you. Remember Romans 8:28? We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are surrendered to his purpose. God uses it all to do his work in our lives. One last thing that Jesus said to his believers. And he said, and never be afraid. Never be afraid when you have bruised yourself as a branch, when you have fallen into the ground, when you are covered with dirt and you begin to wonder, is God going to give up on me? Have I finally messed up one time too many? Is God going to turn me away? One of the things you need to know is that as a believer, you never have to be afraid that something you do can separate you from Christ or that you will lose your salvation. As a believer, one who has given their life to Jesus, you never have to wonder, is God going to quit on me? Never tell yourself you've messed up and the Lord is through. Nothing can change a believer's status with Christ. It is Jesus who said to those disciples, and you are already clean. That's what he said at the end of this passage. You are already clean. I'm talking to you about those times when you mess up. I'm talking to you about those times when you fall away. I'm talking to you about those times you allow your life to become covered with grit. I'm talking to you about those times when you become a bruised branch. And I want to tell you something. As a bruised branch, you are already clean. You already belong to me. Jesus was saying the issue of salvation is already settled. And you can be free from fear. And when you are not afraid, you're free, free to grow and to bear fruit for Christ. Don't be afraid. You know, there are things that I worry about as a follower of Jesus. I worry about really messing up. I worry about disappointing my Lord. I worry about disqualifying myself from ministry. I worry about being involved in sin that should never have gotten a grasp in my life. I worry about those things. You know what I don't worry about? I don't ever worry about, and will Jesus give up on me? And will he take heaven out of my future? And do I have to be afraid that he won't love me anymore? Because he tells me those are settled issues. If you're a follower of Christ, we are to live like people who have been set free. If you're a follower of Christ, one of the things that the Bible is telling you is, even when you've messed up, even when you're dirty, even when you're bruised, just turn your life back over to the Lord and let him restore you, because the one who loved you and the one who saved you and the one who died for you and the one who rose again for you and the one who's promised you a place in heaven will always be there for you. So trust him. And if you're here and you're not a believer, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you need to know today should be your day of salvation. Today should be the day you trust him as your Savior and ask him to forgive your sins and surrender your life to him and trust him. Because he loves you. And he wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. And all you have to do is trust him. There are going to be times in our lives when we know we need the Lord. We need the Lord because of the decisions and choices we've made in our own lives. We need the Lord because we recognize I can't fix myself. I can't make my life right. We need the Lord because only he can do what only he has promised to do. And in those times when we know we need the Lord, we also need to know that he has promised, I'll be there for you. You just call on me. So I ask you the question this morning, how do you need the Lord? If you're here and you're not a believer, you've never given your life to Jesus, you need the Lord because you need him to save you. And before you leave today, you can settle that issue. In just a few moments, we're going to be standing. We're going to be singing an invitation hymn. I'm going to be here. Rich is going to be here. We would love to talk to you about how you can come to know Jesus. If you need the Lord and you need to be a part of this particular part of the vine, it's called First Baptist Church. And you need a place where you can belong and a place where you'll be accepted and a place where you'll be loved and a place where you'll be nurtured, this is the place. We would love for you to become a part, bring your membership and be a part of First Baptist Church and what God is doing here. But maybe you're here as a believer, and there's some very specific ways you need the Lord. And God is pointing them to you. If there are those places that right now where you're sitting, it's like there's a spotlight shining on a particular part of your life. And God is saying, that is the place. In just a moment before we sing our hymn, I'm going to lead you in a time of prayer where you can surrender that part to him and let him bless you. So let me invite you to stand for a moment. Before we move to our invitation, we're just going to have a time of prayer where we can just confess to the Lord, this is where I need you in my life. Let's bow together, will you? As you're standing in your place this morning with nobody around you knowing what's on your heart and what's on your mind, let me ask you the question, is there a place in your life where you need the Lord? And it is so specific that you know exactly what I'm talking about. It may be that right now the Holy Spirit is pointing out something in your life, an act of rebellion, a place you're holding back, a need from a long time ago, some unforgiven stuff or some stuff you feel is so unforgiven because you've carried the burden for so long. And today is a good day just to let it go. Confess that you're a bruised branch and ask him to make you whole again. Let's pray together. Father, this morning as we're in this place, gathered as your people, Father, we love you and we thank you that you love us. We thank you, Lord, that our names are written on the palm of your hand. We thank you, Lord, that you know our faces and you know our hearts, you know our needs, and you know our hurts. Father, right now, all across this room, you are showing us places in our lives that just absolutely need the touch of Jesus. Maybe, Father, there's some things that some of us just need to let go of so you can do that pruning work that you need to do. For some of us, Father, secret sin that we've hidden up so that we thought nobody would ever see. And what we really need to do is just ask you to touch us and make us clean. Father, for some of us, we're thinking about things that we know we need to be about because, Lord, you've called us to them, but we've allowed every other distraction in the world to turn us away from the things that matter most. And Father, for some of us, we just have to admit we've kind of lost sight of Christ Jesus in our lives because other things have blocked our view of him. Father, this is my prayer this morning. Whoever we are and wherever we are and whatever's going on in our lives, Father, I just pray, do the work that only you can do. Father, come as the vine dresser. Come as the one who loves us and cleans us and wants us to be fruitful and wants us to be productive and wants us to know everything that God has planned for us, to experience what it means to be set free in Christ. Lord Jesus, meet us at our point of need. Deal with us right where we are. Make us clean and fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it may be this morning there's something you need to do that's a public decision. You need to come receiving Christ. You need to come to join the church. You need to come with a personal decision. If there is, this is your time. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. It'll be your chance to come. If God is speaking to you, you come this morning. Let's sing together.